Happy New Year. Oh my God, it's 2016, people. And I've got a feeling this one is going to be my finest yet, and I'm going to do my darndest to make it your finest too. So today I'm mixing things up a bit. I'm getting in the spirit of the mini experiment, which is a concept that was really kind of brought to my attention by my mate Nikki Smith. And I interviewed her in episode 8, which you can go back and have a listen to. A big theme in her life is just really this idea of setting herself little challenges and then seeing where they go. And what I love about this, and what I loved about doing it myself this year, was just the fact that it takes so much pressure off. I dropped perfectionism and I really embraced small change. I just looked at things as an experiment rather than having all this crazy attachment to outcome. So it's been a huge year of personal growth for me. And if you've been listening to my podcast, I'm pretty sure you will agree that there's been some kind of massive shift that's happened in the last kind of 6 or so months. And I am so excited about 2016. I guess this in itself is a bit of a mini experiment. When I first started Colosophies, the idea was to have 3 formats, and one was going to be my interview format, telling somebody else's story, and then the free flow convos were kind of going to be telling my story, but hopefully telling a bit of yours through telling my story. And then the third was actually going to be called Content is King, and these were going to be topics that you guys were interested in learning more about, and me talking to guests or exploring the topic myself and bringing you information that you can use to really improve your life. It's like the takeaway from my interview format on steroids, you know. So I decided I'd just give it a go and see what happens. And I would love if you listen to this and you think, yeah, shit, yeah, I want more of this, get in touch with me and let me know, you know, what you want to learn about, where you need some help, and I'll create content specifically for you. So I guess we just dive in. This is Nikki Smith. You can find her at nikkismith.net.au. She's actually got a guilt-free planner there. If you look on her website, it ties in beautifully with what we're talking about today. So if you go to nikkismith.net.au and check out the planner tab, you'll find her guilt-free planner there. Anyway, I'll just step away from the mic and we'll dive straight in. So today I want to talk a lot about resolutions and mini experiments. And this really came about because me and my good mate, Nikki Smith, were sitting down at over dinner in Ocean Grove and having a bit of a catch up. And we were talking about my year and how things have really shifted for me this year. And I think it's because I've tried things, you know, in the past, I just dove in 100% and it always ended up in a monumental fuck up. And so this year I approach things a little bit differently. And if you go back to episode 8, you'll hear Nikki Smith's story, and she's really all about mini experiments. So I guess this was the year for me to really embrace mini experiments. And it's in part, of course, due to my good old mate, Nikki Smith, who's with me today. And I just wanted to get her on because I really think it's important to, you know, we sit down at this time of year and we reflect on the year that was, and then we come up with these big grand plans for 2016 or the next year, whatever year it is. And then we fuck up and feel like a bit of a failure. So I wanted to get Nikki on just to really think about how you could approach things a little bit differently this year and come from a place of mini experiments. Anyway, we're going to talk a lot about this today. And Nikki's actually starting her own podcast soon. So you guys will be able to jump on there if you are interested in listening to more about and learning more about mini experiments. But in the meantime, I just want to talk to Nikki briefly about resolutions and why they don't work. Let's go there, Nikki. Let's dive straight in.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this stuff is so important to share. So one of the most liberating things I've discovered over the last 2 years is that New Year's resolutions don't work. They don't work for a number of reasons. First of all, we pick Many. You know, most of us are impatient and we want to change, radically change potentially many things in our life. So we create this big list of potentially what would you say, Carly, like 5 to 10 things?
Yeah, I'm probably more like 10.
More like 10, yep. Right? And it looks like a bright and shiny list at the start of the year. It looks awesome. And what we know now is by doing that, we're setting ourselves up to fail. So it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And the main reason is that our brain, so neuroscience shows us now that our brain is wired to cement one new habit a month. So if we want a habit to sustain past month one, then we need to pick one a month to do that. First of all, for those of us who are impatient, that sounds really wussy, a bit pathetic.
Yeah.
So yeah. What I say to you, imagine if you could say by the end of 2016, I'm going to have 12 new habits. That better?
Yeah.
Awesome. Right. So imagine you're going to have 12 new habits by the end of the year and you get to choose what they are. The other thing to note is that the first one I recommend is to pick a keystone habit. A keystone habit is something that has this beautiful ripple effect into other areas of our life. So we're getting that positive feedback loop. We're feeling like we're doing more than just one new habit. The other thing to say is you can certainly do stuff on top of that one habit, but I call them the kind of bonus rounds. What I want everyone to do is to like let go of the expectations around those bonus rounds and see them as like awesome. That's a bonus.
Yeah. So I was just talking to you before we jumped on the call about how I've kind of set up 3 non-negotiables for 2016 because they're things that I do and everything else kind of works. And the 3 are exercise every day, like physical exertion, not just a stroll on the beach, like actually getting up a sweat every single day. And it doesn't have to be an hour or 2 hours like I used to do. It could just be 20 minutes as long as I'm getting my heart rate up and I'm, you know, getting a sweat on. And then I had make my bed every day because it just makes me feel shit hot when my bed's made. And that takes literally 30 seconds. I don't know why I fall into the habit of not making it, but when I make it, it has an impact on my day. Absolutely. And the third one was create content every day because I need to be doing that. I need to have an outlet for my creativity. And it's where I kind of fall down because I'll do it a few days and then I'll be like, oh, same with the bed, you know? So when I was talking to you before, I guess the linchpin one for me is exercise because when I'm doing that, the other stuff kind of just falls into place. I am more creative because I'm creating those endorphins when I'm exercising. I do make my bed because I'm less like when I'm not making my bed, I'm just being lazy, really. And so when I'm not lazy, then I make my bed. And if I'm exercising, I'm not lazy. So I guess that would be the linchpin one, the exercise.
Perfect. Yeah, I love it. And does it feel different focusing on one and knowing that the others are likely to happen?
Yeah. Yeah, because it just takes a little bit of pressure off. No, because I think sometimes when you look at a big picture, it's very overwhelming to then make all the things that happen. And I see this in Radcasters all the time, you know. People join the course because they're overwhelmed with the tech stuff. And so then they join the course, but they're still overwhelmed with the tech stuff, even though everything is there for them. But the reason for that is because they're not doing the first step, you know, which is getting clear on your concept and finding out your who and your why and all that kind of jazz. And then when you have that, then you can take it one step at a time. But people tend to jump 10 steps ahead and forget about the stuff that needs to be done in the, you know, in the intermediate time. And I'm always saying to Radcasters, what's the next step? What's the next step? What's the next step? You know, forget about the rest. Just what's the next step?
And that, yeah, perfect advice.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant advice. I wonder if we take a step back, do you want to set yourself up to succeed for your keystone or your linchpin habit? Shall I take you through the 6 steps?
Yes.
To do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, listeners, I'm hoping that you've picked one for yourself. Now, Carly's got her 20 minutes of getting her sweat on. And if that feels too advanced, then you're picking a 10-minute walk, 15-minute walk, just picking something that you know will make a difference. And I remember being sick about 6 months ago and I had quite a big exercise goal for the month and I brought it back to a 30-minute walk a day. Did it every day and it made a big difference. And it wasn't anything near what I was hoping to do. But the thing is our brain and our body thanks us for that effort.
Yeah.
So 15 or 30 minute walk, if getting a sweat on every day is too much of a leap. All right, I'm going to walk you through the six things you need to do to set yourself up to succeed. Six things might sound a lot, but it's to make it as easy as pie. I'm going to flip a page. You're going to hear some paper crackling. That's a no-no in podcasting.
Not apparently. In radio.
But I'm still getting my head around it.
All good. All good.
Yep. Step one is to choose the habit, and you're going to do it every day for 21 days. Step two is to figure out a trigger or a cue, and we'll do this with Carly's one. So this is to cue you and your brain that it's time to do your daily habit.
Okay.
Can you think what that might be?
God, I have no idea. So what? When you say that, do you mean like something that I'll do every day to then, like as a cue to then go and do what I do? Is it like set a time, or how could that look?
Yeah, absolutely. So it can be setting a time, and our brain does love if it's the same time every day. But if you're not such a routine person, don't worry too much about it. But it could be waking up and seeing your joggers in the corner. It could be setting an alarm. It could be for you, it might be, right, I've got Mabel dressed and she's fed, we're going, and you go. It could be that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, because Michael gets home rather early, because it's difficult with a toddler, although, that's just an excuse really, but it would be good. I would enjoy doing it on my own rather than having Mabel there. So I think what I'll do is when Michael gets home from work, we'll do a tag so he can take Mabel and remind me to go and exercise, kick me out the door. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Perfect. And then what you want to do, step three, is to make it as easy as possible. So we're going to run through what are the things that are likely to get in the way of you and your habit.
Okay. What are the things that are likely to get in my way? Wow, there's so many.
That's true. And I'm glad you admitted that. It's so true for everyone else. You know, I think we can match our list of 10 for New Year's resolutions for a list of 10 of every excuse that comes through my head.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Okay. So what would they be? Well, one would be, I've just had a bad day and I can't really be bothered. I'm tired. Wow, so many. Really the main ones though are just, I've had a rough day and I just really can't be bothered. I'm too tired.
Mabel's had a rough day with Mabel.
Had a rough day with Mabel.
Had a rough day with work.
Yeah.
Anything around like the weather? Does that put you off?
Yeah. Well, if I go back into running, which I would like to do, then the weather does sometimes put me off. So does high tide, because I run on the beach and I hate to run at high tide. I hate to run when there's a crazy northerly blowing, which is pretty much all of summer. I like the perfect conditions. Low tide, no wind. Of course, that doesn't happen. But I also know from when I did used to do it every day that stuff doesn't really matter when you're out there.
Okay. Yeah. So this is a check-in point, right? It is worth looking at all of these things that pop up and write them down. So, yeah, I was just about to clarify that with you, Carly. So because of the weather and the wind conditions and the tide conditions, for some people that would be enough to put them off. But it sounds like you've done it enough times to know that once you're started, it doesn't really bother you.
Yeah.
So the hurdle is actually getting you dressed and out the door and they're like the first 10 seconds or something of running or first minute.
Yeah, the hardest part is getting down there. And then when I get down there, I have two choices, right? I can walk or I can run.
Yep.
And the times where it works best, and you and I and Flick were having this conversation, I think, when we caught up, when we saw each other in Barwon Heads, the running thing, right? So the best times I have, because it's either some days are a real, real shit fight, real struggle. I'm like, well, I haven't done it for 2 years. So I was like, oh God, this is really tough. But I just keep going, okay, I'll reach that point in the ocean where the wave is and then I'll get to that point and then I can walk. And then I get to that point and I'm like, no, I'll just go a little bit further. And so once I'm going, I can go further and then further and further. But the hardest part is actually going, okay, I've got to start running. And then when I start running, I know it's all going to kind of work out. So okay, that's the hardest part. The hardest part is not getting to the beach, because I do that every day anyway, but it's the starting to run.
Okay. And do you think that, and that's your definition of success? So if you walked versus running, how would you feel?
Oh, look, it still has the same effect emotionally on me, but just different physically. And yep. It wouldn't be a failure. Like, there's definitely times where I've gone down to the beach in the old days and I just have run and I just haven't felt it. And so I've started walking. And okay. There were at points in my journey, I would have beat myself up a bit about that. But then there's other parts that understands now that either way is going to have the effect that I want, which is silence and, you know, time out, really. That's why I do it. And because yep. The physical exercise, I like challenging myself. So that's why I like to run, because it's a constant challenge. It's like, can I make it here? Can I make it there? Can I make it there? And sure, if 80% of the time I ran and 20% of the time I started running and I just walked, I showed up anyway and I gave it a crack. That's what kind of matters most to me.
Yeah. Awesome. So, yeah, we're hearing that there's benefits of doing any level.
Yeah.
And you'll get a greater sense of satisfaction if you do run.
Yeah.
But you can see how there's just these global benefits in terms of mood, how you feel, and also time out. So there's like this intrinsic reward actually by even just stepping out and doing something for yourself. So that's awesome. So when we're trying to make it as easy as possible, what we've just done there is just put a little dash of like realism in there saying, how are you going to feel if you do it? If you do walking or if you do running. And also we've identified how we're going to overcome, this is what we can talk about next, is overcome those mental thoughts. So I'm too tired, I've had a rough day, I'll just go tomorrow. What are we going to come up with to either reframe or to overcome those thoughts?
Well, I guess I know the benefits definitely outweigh not doing it. So I guess I could remind myself of that. And also I know that if I take a day off, like if I, with the bed, with the, you know, showing up every day, with the content creation, with the exercise, when I stop doing it, then I kind of, it's like I trigger this other pathway in my brain that just goes, that's okay. Start again tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes and I don't start. And then tomorrow comes and I don't start and tomorrow comes. So I don't want to fall into that pattern. I just want to show up every day.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, is reminding myself of that big enough of a motivation?
No, we are going to stack the decks in your favor. So, there's a few more steps to go. Cool. With this one, yeah, I would say I would remind yourself, actually, when I leave it to the next day, then I don't go the next day. I have to go today.
Yeah.
Yeah? I'm going to feel rewarded for time by myself. I'm going to feel my mood is going to feel better. Yeah, I'm going to feel physically better. So I think reminding yourself of the benefits, but also reminding yourself actually it's a non-negotiable. Yeah. I just have to go.
Yeah.
And because you've got the walking or the running option, I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
From a psychologist point of view, yeah.
Cool.
I'm happy with that. We're going to stack the deck in your favor in a moment. So the next step four is to do the habit. So you're going to go for the walk or the run. Step five is to reward yourself, okay? And step five and step six, this is where we're stacking the decks, because we know that willpower can actually, we've got willpower for between 3 and 4 tasks a day. And because you're doing the exercise in the afternoon, you're actually expecting more of yourself. So if we can identify a reward, something that's going to make you think, awesome, like that's what I'm going to do afterwards, or I'm going to do 3 in a row, then I'll reward myself with, you know, this, a massage, or it's a nap, whatever, you know, does it for you, or meeting up with a friend.
Okay. So what I would like to do, I am looking for 80% really, like an 80% success rate is better than a 0% success rate that I've got right now.
Yep.
So what I would like to do is if I run 5 out of 7 days, then I do something. What that is, that's the tricky part.
And again, this is, while you're having a think, I'll just mention this is universal. We don't tend to celebrate things. It's really interesting. Part of my business coach's job with me was to learn how to celebrate again, and I'm doing it with my clients and friends as well. So here's the added incentive. Our brain will cement this habit more deeply if we reward ourselves. So we're wanting to tell our brain, this is a really good thing, we need to keep doing it. And the thing is, initially, that the endorphin or the good on you is not enough. So we actually need to do something on top of that.
Okay, so I reckon that if I do the 5 out of 7 days, then I lock down lunch with a girlfriend for that week.
Perfect.
Because that's also a little goal that's been – I've been working on the in the Leonie Dawson shiny year thing, and in the 100 things it's like, yeah, go out for lunch once a week. So if I run 5 out of 7 days, then I can go out to lunch with a girlfriend.
Great. Now, step 6 is to tell someone about it. So it sounds like you're going to tell Michael.
Yeah. And I just told the whole world.
Yeah, that's true.
Fuck, what did I do?
When's it starting? January? Yeah. Starting tomorrow, I'm guessing.
Oh, Jesus.
You pick the day. When's it starting?
Okay, let me just have a look in my diary. I'm going to start on Monday.
A lot of people like to start on Monday. Yeah. Well done. The other thing is, in addition to telling lots of listeners, you sounds like you're going to tell Michael actually yes. what we're going to. So the thing is, you're setting yourself up to succeed by telling him, hey, I'm going to do this. It's really important to me. Can you kick me out the door? Like, what's he going to, and you can even put some humor in there. Like, if you don't go running, you're going to have to, I don't know, give me a shoulder massage or something. Do you know what I mean? It's just more incentive to do something for yourself.
I was thinking blowjob, but.
That's why we love you. exactly.
That'll get me out the door. Like, if I don't have to give a blowjob, I am running. Anyway, yes.
And to give that some context.
Yeah.
So when the intrinsic reward isn't enough, when this internal motivation isn't enough, the good news is we can use an external driver, external motivation. And it's completely normal. You know, I think I don't know why. I think we've been brought up to think we should have this amazing willpower, right? Mm. And we think we should, again, it's another should be able to do a lot.
Yeah.
A lot every day. But in fact, yeah, willpower for 3 to 4 tasks a day. So if this habit is tough, then, if the afternoon's not working, I'm sure it will, because think of all the incentives you got. Yeah. But I'm just letting people out there know, if it's not working in the afternoon, then switch it to the morning, because you have, 100% more willpower. Okay.
Yeah.
So finally, choosing a buddy to report into, you get social accountability, which means you're 30% more likely to do it. And if you stack the decks like Carly has, which is sky high, with incentives, you're going to do it and it's going to feel awesome. So the last step, step 7, is when you get, whether it's day 3 or 7 or 21, you're going to need to evaluate how you're going. So see what's working, see what's not. And that's the other drop the should. Like, find out what's working, what's not, and if you can fine tune it. So again, you don't have to get this 100% perfect within the first week. Yeah, you might need to fine-tune things. So is that helpful?
Yeah, so just when you said that reevaluate thing, that's really cool, because then like it kind of takes the pressure off too. So if I do this for 21 days and then I reevaluate and it's not working, then I can fine-tune. And that is a really good lead into mini experiments, because I feel like that's really what mini experiments is about, trying something for, a small period of time or a small amount of energy or whatever. And then reevaluating and trying something different. So let's talk about mini experiments. Anyone who wants to hear more about Nikki's story can listen to episode 8, because we talk a lot about mini experiments in there. But do you just want to give like a brief kind of what it's about for you and how it shows up in your life?
Sure. So I went on a series of them in my mid-20s when I rediscovered music, and you'll hear in episode 8 in great detail how a fantastic teacher and mentor just kept setting me these mini challenges. And what I found is that mini challenges took me from a really low baseline of music. I hadn't done it in 10 years, oh, sorry, 5 years or so. And it got me from I wasn't able to sing a whole song in tune at the start to at the end. I was actually writing music. I was doing gigs. I was on public radio. I was supporting bigger bands. And so those mini experiments took me from really almost not a really low baseline of, competency and confidence to actually doing something which I would have said was impossible. So that's the power of mini experiments. It was really funny. I was reflecting on the mini experience in the decades since then and realized, oh my God, I do them all the time now. So it comes really naturally. The benefits of doing them are many. I personally feel like I will start something, 5 to 10 times faster if I view it as an experiment. Yeah. I don't attach as much self-worth to it. It's not, you know, because I'm testing something out.
Yeah. So and there's there's no external validation required because it's just like trying something. That's cool.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So the bit, you know, one of the bigger ones is we tried a sea change in 2014 and we decided in February we wanted to try living in Bowen Heads, and we actually moved 6 weeks later because we viewed it as a 12-month experiment. And I knew my husband wanted to live down here permanently, but I said I'll try as an experiment. I'm in, and we moved 6 weeks later, which took a lot of organization, but we wanted to catch the end of summer. And, you know, 3 months in, I was hooked. So that's the power of mini experiments. You can take, in terms of a career, it can take you from barely knowing what you're doing to actually having, you know, a music career, and it can take you from, you know, one location in the world to another within weeks.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan.
Yeah, cool. I mentioned before that this has been the year for me of trying it out too. And I just wanted to share a bit about my own kind of journey because, you know, it's really, I've never really done this before. I've been one of those people who's like 100% committed, you know, and I just throw everything at something and then it doesn't work. And I end up really resentful and hurt because it feels like a personal public rejection. And so I was kind of sick of feeling that way because I deserve to feel better than that. And, you know, and so I thought, you know what, I'm just going to try some different things and see what works. You know what, it's the level of attachment that is key, I think, because you're no longer attached to like controlling everything about it to get this particular outcome. You're then more open because you're like, well, if this doesn't work, I can try something else. There's no pressure. That's what I love about it. So for me, it was like, okay, you know, I had this idea of starting a podcast. I was like, I'm just going to start it. I'll see where it goes. No pressure. You know, if I show up, I just want to show up consistently and see what kind of happens. So I thought to myself, look, I'll just try out some interviews. I'll try out some free flows and I'll just see where it goes. So I didn't set a timeline or anything to it, but I did want to reach 50 episodes, which I did last
Congratulations.
Week. And, you know, and I just didn't want to be attached to the outcome. So I wasn't going to allow the amount of downloads or, you know, the public recognition or any ideas that I had around that dictate what, you know, how I showed up or if I showed up. So I just wanted to reach 50 episodes. So I did it, you know, and it was awesome and changed my life, literally changed my life. So from there, I had the idea of teaching other people to podcast because, I mean, I'm a voiceover artist. I've been working in radio for 10 years, you know, and well, I've been running my own voiceover agency for 10 years. And before that, I worked in radio and I studied sound at university. So I've got all these skills here that a lot of people need and a lot of knowledge from working with audio for 20 years that I could share with people and just help them start because it's the hardest thing, like going running. The hardest thing is actually going, I'm going to do it. Okay, I'm committing, you know? So I was like, okay, well, I'll see if this is something of interest. Usually what I do is I create everything within an inch of its life and then I launch it. And then I get crickets and then I get angry because I've put all this energy into it and it's, you know, not been a success in inverted commas. So I thought to myself, no, well, what I'll do this time is I'll outline what I'd kind of like it to be and then I'll just put it out into the world. And if people buy it, then I'll create it. So that's what I did. I opened up the cart, people started buying, and in that period of time, you know, I had like so much shit happen. Mabel got sick. It was like that testing, the universe testing my resolve. Mabel got really sick. I got really sick. My nana died, you know, just all this real shit happened, but I still managed to get 15 people paid and enrolled in that first round, launch and have all of the content created. I don't even know how that happened, but I kind of do. It happened because I backed myself and I just thought, you know what, I'm just going to give this a shot. If it doesn't work out, I can, you know, I've done it before. I can just slowly walk away, you know, back away from the situation. And if it does work, then awesome.
Yeah, but also I'm guessing if you did it the reverse way, so you did the outline, people bought it. So then didn't you have that,
yeah,
this is what people want? This is...
yeah.
And then you can do it. You know this stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. It was just really a test to see what, you know, what happened. And it just took the pressure off again. because I wasn't having to produce something within an inch of its life, not really knowing. That was the great thing, because I ended up creating the content around the people that were in the course based on what they were coming up against. It wasn't about me, it was about them, which was a big shift for me, because it's always been about me and creating things for me, you know, and then expecting that other people want them because it's something that I would want. In this particular case, I created something around the people that were in it. So all the content that's there, besides the stuff that I thought people really needed to know about audio and that kind of stuff, but the rest of the stuff has been created around what people felt they need as they were going through the process. So it's a completely different approach, and it worked, which I didn't know before. Yeah.
And so the thing I'm really hearing about is that the low pressure experience that you had.
Yeah.
That low pressure, and somehow you got it done. Mm. And yeah, I mean, that's the miracle of experiments.
Exactly.
Low pressure. Yeah. If you find some traction, find some joy, you'll keep going.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then after that, I decided, you know, oh, well, I'd like to public speak. You know, I'll just put myself out there. I got two public speaking gigs. It was very stressful in terms of I hadn't done a lot of public speaking. And the last time I did, Mabel was like 3 months old, and I was just an anxious, depressed, nervous wreck. And so, and I was talking about being productive, which was the height of irony. So, you know, it wasn't a good fit. But this time I was like, well, no, this is something that I would like to talk about. And again, I had a shift, because I was like, well, this isn't about me. It's about me sharing what I know to help other people. And it really took the pressure off there too. So that was something that I learned in the first experiment, was that when I shift the focus from me and what I think people need, you know, to actually finding out what they do need and then providing that, it works. So I just, you know, focused on service again in the public speaking, and that really worked. I loved it, but I wouldn't have known had I not given it a crack, you know. And actually there came the most recent experiment, which was I'd like to try and do some coaching. I've always wanted to do coaching. I thought, well, you know, I could take people through Radcasters, but one-on-one, very intensive, go from their idea to iTunes, and we take care of all the stuff that's blocks. The editing, the post-production, the getting it in iTunes, we take care of all that, and I coach them through figuring out what they want.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what, I'll just put it out there. I'll know what the overall concept is, but I'll figure out the finer details while I'm with them. And so I did it, and I had two people sign up immediately. So then I have to follow through, you know, and it's working. And it's working, I think, because of the non-attachment and the low pressure, and then creating things around other people and being of service. You know, they're the real keys that I've learned through my experiments this year.
Yeah, and how brilliant to find that combination. Would you regard yourself as a perfectionist?
I would have said yes.
Before,
yeah. Definitely. You know, when I started the Office Collective, everything had to be thought of, you know, down to – well, obviously, OHS stuff, so the emergency evacuation process, you know, everything had to be thought out in case somebody, you know, how we would deal with this, how we would deal with that, how, you know, how we would stop people from annoying, you know, like I thought about all of the details that people could possibly, but what I didn't do was actually invite them in to contribute to the, you know, the creation. I created what I thought they needed and then tried to sell it to them. And then got really desperate because I had put so much into it that I had to get some kind of return. And then desperation, people smell it, you know, and they don't want to be part of something when you're really desperate. So taking that pressure off for me was just a game changer, because it's a bonus now. When people sign up, it's like, oh, my God, this is amazing, instead of where's the rest of them?
And so I think it's a good antidote to perfectionism, isn't it? The art of taking experiments is a really good antidote to that. And I think, because I'm guessing most of your listeners would either be a perfectionist or be impatient.
Yes.
Sorry,
guys. So it's true.
It is true. And you can, the other thing is you can start really small. So I think, you know, I feel like the ones we've been talking about today are reasonably – substantial. So I'll give you some example from some clients. So I've got two streams to my business. I help people to navigate career change and to create a dream life best fit role, something that matches their dream lives, their lifestyle needs, their strengths and their interests. And I also help people to figure out their dream life best fit business. So again, it's matching those the dream scenario, your strengths, your interests, and, you know, also looking at some business nuts and bolts, especially around leveraging your strengths. And some of my business coaches have done some really beautiful mini experiments. One of them, he's a carpenter and he's really wanting to, he's got all this creative training. So he's an industrial designer by trade, also graphic designer, and he's just totally stuck in terms of any creative pursuit. So I just set him a mini challenge and it was just to create something in 7 days. So again, and the pressure was off. He just had to create something. We, you know, it didn't matter what it was, just something. And he created this beautiful chopping board made out of a skateboard. And it was, and it's gorgeous. Yeah. So he actually created something beautiful. From that mini experiment, he didn't feel too much pressure. He said, yeah, because again, it was about the process, not the output. But the interesting thing is the ripple effect was substantial. So from doing that, he said, I think I'll do an Etsy store and there's also these other two designs that I've got, but I might get someone else to actually make them and then I'll have 3 or 4 things on this Etsy store. So from this relatively small 7-day challenge, he was able to just open up the gates again to thinking he's creative and he can put things out into the world. So, you know, you can start with something smaller for sure.
Yeah, and I think like the key there is that you start, like, it builds your confidence, doesn't it? Because it's like, you know, I can achieve this. I can, I don't know, like there's something that switches when you go, oh, I can do that. I think what stops a lot of people is worrying that they can't do it, that it'll be failure. And so they are kind of stuck in this fear place of moving forward. But if you don't have that pressure and you don't have that attachment, then it's much easier for you to go, well, you know, that's easy.
So for me, I think our brain follows suit. When we change a behavior and there's evidence, then I think our brain can catch up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's exactly what you're saying. So you actually have a go and you actually go, oh, I did that. And then your brain goes, oh, I'm pretty good.
Yeah. And if I can do that, maybe I could do this. And then you lead into more experiments, obviously.
So, yeah, exactly. So you've actually had a massive year of experiments.
Yeah, it has been pretty big. I feel like there's been huge growth this year for me, you know, where in other years there's definitely been a bigger level of growth for me this year than there has in previous years. And I'm always all about personal growth. So that's a big statement, but it's been like a year where I've proved to myself that I'm capable and that I have something of value and that I am of value. There's been a lot of lessons in this year. due in part to the mini experiments, really, because I have been like, let's just give this a go. Let's just give this a go. Let's try this. Let's try that. And when there's no fear of failure attached to it, it, you know, it's like that saying, you know, what is it? What would you do if you couldn't fail? And sure, that might be something really, really huge, but it could also be just a little thing. And then another little thing that leads to the big thing. Because like in Radcasters, people aren't starting because it's too overwhelming. But if you just do the next step and the next step and the next step and you gain confidence, it's like a, you know, I don't know. I was just trying to think of something that kind of gathers momentum as it's rolling
like
down
a
hill. And it's, yeah, like a snowball. Yeah. So it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger as it goes on.
Shall I share my first Radcasters experience?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, so I guess I'm proof of that. So I'm the experiment junkie.
Yes.
And one of my core desired feelings is rock star, and I am a musician, but I would gig at nighttime, and I can't face that when my kids wake up at 5 a.m. It's just a morning person now. So I thought, ooh, podcasting could give me a bit of a flavor of rock star. I love Carly, love her work. And again, I totally viewed it as an experiment. And it was an investment, but I knew that by adding the experiment title to it, I would just take action. So I jumped in and then I got an email from someone that I admire and he was offering 10 interview spots And it had to be the week before Christmas. He was wanting to triple down on his strengths and do something he's good at. So he was experimenting with interviews. So just the theme of experimentation's everywhere. And I actually applied. So I applied for this interview spot. Having said that, I'd figured out roughly the theme and title of the podcast, but had read through two or three modules, but hadn't done much more. So I'd dived in, but actually hadn't done much action. But I jumped in and applied for this interview spot, and I got it. Now, one of the thing I had to agree to was to publish the interview within a month of recording it.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. So I've just given myself a timeline on this experiment, but the thing is, it feels really good. And when you have a timeline like this, then you done is better than perfect, right? Totally. You just make a start. And the great thing is within Radcasters, everything was there that I needed. So the week leading up, I listened to the audio. I looked at the software and realized I don't need to touch that yet. I just needed to listen to the audio. There's a video, an awesome video on how to conduct interviews. And even though I've conducted something like 2,000 interviews with job seekers, I realized I hadn't really interviewed many people about them more broadly in life. So I got great tips from that. Carly interviews Elf, who's a fantastic radio producer, and you just get tip after tip in there. So then I actually did 2 hours of preparation and I felt really organized for this interview. And I again looked into the Creating the Space video, and Carly talks about creating this rainbow of mattresses or pillows. Yeah. Like talking about a really low cost low maintenance solution for a good sound space. And so I did something similar to that. I've got a mattress behind the computer and some, what do you call this,
acoustic foam tiles.
I bought two acoustic foam tiles, which are really precariously sitting next to me,
but they're doing the job.
That's what's beautiful. And I guess you embody within the course, done is better than perfect, make a start, here are your options. So, you know, by investing in that course and saying yes to an interview, I will have a podcast by the end of January, which is crazy town.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Totally awesome.
It's fun. So I'm, you know, clearly I'm a fan. And
yeah.
If podcasting to be your experiment in 2016 – this course is the bomb. It's really
cool.
Good.
Thanks, dude. I was just going to say about when I was listening to you, I was thinking about, you know, in those 7 steps earlier, you were saying about evaluating. And I think, like, you know, when you – I've done it in my experiments too, is that I've done the thing and then I've evaluated it. So you would have had your interview, right, and then afterwards figured out, oh, well, this worked, but this didn't work, and this is the way I could do it, you know, differently, that might have a slightly better result. You know, and that's another thing that I find stops people, is they're scared of making those mistakes. But when you have that frame of an experiment, then it gives you permission to make a few mistakes too. They're learning.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I don't know, I always feel a bit guilty talking about this because I'm not a perfectionist, so I think I'm lucky. You know, I don't, in fact, I think my husband sometimes wishes I was more of a perfectionist than I am. But there are many benefits to me making progress in my business, in my life, because I just start. And I think also, look, my singing career helped me also to get used to feeling silly, to get used to feeling looking a bit foolish, and get used to improvising on the spot. So if you forgot you know, lyrics or sang out of tune, you had to bolster yourself and go, keep going, it doesn't matter, you know, I'm telling a story, there's no note out of tune. Those kind of lessons, yeah, that really does serve me well. And look, yeah, the actual interview was reasonably uncomfortable because it was new. So yeah. Our brains, it's a real shame, our brains have not evolved to our modern day living. So if we don't have a lot of information about the task we're about to do, then our brain sees it as an uncertain task and rears its ugly head and gives us lots of fear and uncomfortable feelings. So that theme about resistance definitely reared up during the interview. But because I'd done the preparation and I had a structure, I went through that. So I had something to hold me.
Yeah.
But yeah, it wasn't uncomfortable. But I was on a high for 2 hours after that. So it was Christmas Eve. I got almost no sleep because the interview was at 1:30 in the morning because it is a US interview. But I didn't care. I was on a high. So I think that's the other thing. That was one of the few things I wanted to talk to today, which is about that resistance and discomfort, you know, that no matter how established you are, and I think, you know, Carly is really honest about this as well, is that it's there. And I think we need to learn to walk alongside it.
And
I think another really helpful thing is to think about, and also to get you into the experiment mindset, is honestly, if it's not a make or break decision for your business, then do it, right? Why wouldn't you? And not many decisions are, if you think about it, especially when you do it as an experiment.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. I think the two keys in there for me from what you were just saying was, you know, nobody is going to judge you as harshly as you're going to judge yourself, you know, when you, particularly in that singing thing, because, you know, I used to sing as well. And, you know, it would be quite confronting, I guess, thinking, oh my God, everyone's going to hear this and hear that one note that I fucked up on. And we're focusing on that, and the people in the audience aren't. Most of them. There might be 1% of the audience who are judging you, but the rest aren't. They're just like in awe of the fact that you're up there. And also the other thing that I wanted to mention was, this morning I was in the shower, I was thinking about the interview that we're going to have today, and I thought, oh my God, this is like, this is, you know, interview maybe 30 or something that I've done. The first one I was so nervous. And each one, and it's the same with public speaking, each time it gets a little bit more comfortable. It's not like 100% comfortable. There's still nerves. There's still moments of awkwardness. But for the most part, I get more and more confident, and I get more and more comfortable in the discomfort. So, but if I never did it, then I'd still be sitting there wishing that I had done it and never actually doing it.
Yeah. Deep breath, everyone.
Deep breath. And then, okay, so I think the last thing that we should talk about is how people can get started. What's a good way for them to start?
Well, you know, I'm obsessed about strengths. So I think looking at your strengths is a really good way to figure out your next experiment, because if we play to our strengths, then we actually naturally get energized and positive. You know, it's been scientifically proven that we do boost our productivity, our energy, our positive influence, even our creativity, and down the line, our income. So there's loads of reasons to play to our strengths. So, you know, I would pick one and think, how can I experiment with playing to that strength? So, you know, I'm incredibly curious about people, and also in terms of my coaching, I realize that people are looking to me as the example of what I'm coaching them to become, in terms of, you can really reach for the stars. You can create your dream scenario, and we're going to get you as close to that as possible. And I realized I want to show them other people who are doing it. So for me, it's going to give me a feeling of rock star. It's playing to my strengths around maximizer and individualization. And it's also going to help spread the word, and I can, you know, be in my Barman Head's house, and I can wear makeup or not. Yeah. So, you know, there's like, to me, there's so many bonuses. But in terms of the strengths, yeah, maximizer, which means I take people and projects from good to great, and also individualization. I'm fascinated by people's individuality and what makes them tick. So it definitely matches those strengths. And again, start small. I think the other tip would be to start small, for sure, because you want to get momentum, and the best way to ensure momentum is to start small, and you're going to smash it, and you're going to do so well.
Yeah, cool. So where can people go from here? So if they're interested in learning about their strengths, well, really, that's where we want to start. So where could they learn more about that?
Yeah, so if you Google StrengthsFinder 2.0, that's the Strengths Online tool that I recommend, and it costs $15 US. And also, I talk about strengths a lot on my website. So if you go to www.nikkismith.net.au, which is nikkismith.net.au, there's loads in there about strengths. And I also wanted to offer a little Carlosophy special.
Cool.
You know, yeah, if you want to dive into strengths, if you either want to get some clarity on what's next for you, whether it's an experiment or something a bit bigger, or whether you're wanting to reclaim some hours in your work week or boost your income, come have a strength session. So just email me via the website and quote Carlosophies, and I've got a 90-minute coaching session for $350, which is half price. So that's my Carlosophies special for you.
Sweet. Awesome. Thanks heaps. Thanks heaps. I have to thank you in two ways. One, because I just think you're rad, and thank you for being my friend. And the other one is thank you for introducing me to this whole concept of mini experiments, because it really has had some huge shifts in my life. And, you know, and I don't think I'd be where I am now if you weren't in my life. So thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. That's one of the most beautiful compliments I've ever heard. Thank you.
No worries. Oh, I'm getting all teary. Yeah, cool. Well, thanks heap. So everyone, check out nikkismith.net.au and yeah, start the mini experiments. And Nikki, of course, is going to have a podcast coming up. So when that happens, you know, I'll be sure to let you all know. Exciting stuff. Nikki, the podcaster. Rockstar.
Thanks,
podcaster.
Kelly. I had a ball today.
Me too.
Yeah.
Let's speak soon.